Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the guests only and do not represent in any way the views of their companies. This is an exploration of the guest's journey and views only. On today's episode, I'm going to chat with Stephanie Hernandez. She's a marketing manager at Rich Music. She's based in Miami. Stephanie has a vast experience in music marketing, and I'm super happy to have her on the podcast. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yes, same. So let's start with your background. Maybe you can share, how did you start in the music industry and why you decided to pursue a career in the music business?
Yeah, so I think my love for music kind of goes back to when I was a little kid. So, I mean, I can go all the way back to tell you about that sort of journey and how it led me to where I am right now. I like to say that I'm from a lot of places. I'm originally from Puerto Rico. That's where I was born and raised. So a very rich culture when it comes to food and music and, you know, people being super loud. And so it was really nice to grow up in like that tropical island type of environment, super fun. And I think my family was always, you know, I was always surrounded by music. And I think something that my dad tells me is that even from like 4 years old, I would be like sitting in the car with him and I like would be singing and I knew all the song lyrics. And so I think from a very young age, I loved music. I think it's like my first love. And so I think that's where it started, you know, as a kid. Growing up, you know, I was like, oh, you know, what am I going to be? That was a question that everybody sort of asks you, like when you're growing up and things like that. And I think for me, it was like, how can I combine like this love for music with like, you know, what I want to be when I grow up? And I think when I was in high school, you know, like that's when they start talking to you about like college and things like that. And I was like, okay, there's got to be something out there that I can do. So I started like researching and I chose to do my undergrad like actually in business. And I chose my focus to be marketing. And the reason I chose marketing was because I had this like very deep love for words. And I think that started with song lyrics, actually. Like I just memorized song lyrics so easily. And it was always about telling a story and listening to those stories and songs. And I was like, okay, when I went for my undergrad, I was like, let me do business and marketing just because I'm so passionate about storytelling. But I also did like a music minor because, you know, music was always like such a big part of my life. And once I graduated, I was a first generation graduate, by the way. So I think navigating through that whole picking career and figuring it out was also very unique because I was the first one in my family to do it. But I think it was also because of that, it was also really brave to go for like music, you know, because usually when you're the first one to like chase like college and higher ed, a lot of people pick those like not safe careers, but more like traditional. So when I told people, I was like, oh, I want to be in music. And they're like, are you sure? Like, can you make money? And I was like, I think
that's,
so.
That's always the question.
Right. I was like, I'm going to figure it out. Like, there's got to be a way, you know, like, aside from like the glamorous, like being a performer and stuff. I always sang like since I was little, and then I sang all throughout like high school, and I did like musical theater, and like I was in choirs. And so, you know, I always kept it in my life. But then when it came time to pick a career, I was like, okay, there's got to be a way. Like, I'm going to use this love that I have for words. I'm going to seek for like opportunities in marketing, and like, I'm just going to figure it out. I think Berkeley was like a huge part of my life in so many ways. You know, I was researching after I was done with my undergrad. I was researching, okay, there's got to be like master programs out there that have to do with music and the music business. And so I came across Berklee. For me, was always a dream school. And when I say I'm from a lot of places, when I was 12 years old, I moved from Puerto Rico to the state of Connecticut, of all places. Very different, super cold. But, you know, it was like right next to Boston. So I always knew of Berklee. I was like, oh my God, this is like an absolute dream school. But when it came to masters, like, and I was researching, I came across the campus in Spain. And for me, Spain was always one of those countries that I wanted to visit. I had no idea that I would actually live there. And so when I saw the program, I was like, oh my God, like, it's like all these dreams together in one. There's like, this is crazy. So I applied. And I remember when I applied, I was so nervous, like, even writing your statement, you know, like, why do you want to be in the music business? And I interviewed with a million. And so it's like, oh my God, I am interviewing with like the program director, you know? So I was, it was very nerve wracking. And I remember like getting in. Again, I was a first generation student. So I think for me, it was milestones, not just for me, but for my family, doing the things that they weren't able to do, but they always like wanted for me. And I remember when I got that like acceptance message or letter, I was in my room and I ran across the hallway, and I was like, I ran back and forth because I was trying to like get it out. Like I got in and explained it, like communicated to my family, but I couldn't figure out like how to say it because I was so excited. Like, so I finally was able to calm down. And I shared it with them. And like, I just remember this moment. It was like one of those moments you always like remember. And it was just my parents hugged me. Like, it was just like my dad, my mom, and just me like hugging, because they knew I wanted it so badly, right? And for me to finally like just get in without having like worked in the industry, without having even left for the campus, like it was such a beautiful moment. Like, and that's like in a non-cheesy way. It was just like very happy moment and very exciting. And so, yeah, that sort of kind of started it. From there, I moved to Spain by myself. And I had never even like, outside of Puerto Rico and outside like traveling in the US, I had never traveled, much less like by myself. So it was like kind of crazy. I'm like, yeah, I'm moving to Spain. Okay, bye. And so I left, and I knew it was a year program. And, you know, like building up to that experience, I did like a benefit concert to like raise funds to be able to afford going to Berklee. And I did get a scholarship when, you know, I was accepted, but I still, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to live there. I want to travel while I'm abroad. So it was like a whole preparation to moving, but it was kind of crazy. I remember sitting on the plane and I'm like, okay, I'm really doing this. I'm really like moving to Spain to go to Berklee.
This realization is always comes when you're in the plane.
Right. And I remember like I found, you know, there's these Facebook groups where, you know, you start meeting your classmates before you even get there. And I found these two girls and they're like, yeah, let's be roommates. And so I was like, okay, let's be roommates with people I've never met. Sounds cool. So yeah, I got to Spain, and I remember, you know, getting to the Valencia airport and getting in a cab and giving them the address. And just, I remember looking up to like the architecture, and I was just like, oh my goodness, it is so beautiful. I was so excited. And so that sort of I actually got to stay for a second year, you know? So those 2 years that I was at Berklee completely shaped me as a person, not just as a, you know, business student, not just as like somebody that loved music, but as a person, because I felt like in such a short period of time, I grew so much and I discovered a lot of things about myself. And I learned to like be by myself too, like enjoying just going to a cafe and ordering dessert, or going to the movies and sitting there with like a whole bag of popcorn by myself, and traveling. Like I remember going in like Italy for the first time, and I didn't have like my phone only worked with Wi-Fi. So I remember like walking the streets with an actual map. So the whole thing was just like this awesome life-changing experience. And it was all because of music. It was that love for music that kind of led me there. And so it really shaped me. After Berkeley, I ended up moving to Florida because my family moved to Florida while I was abroad. So I was like, okay, I guess I can go there. So I ended up moving to Miami. My family's not in Miami. They're in a different part of Florida. But I was like, where do I go in Florida that's like music business, where I can work in the industry? And of course, Latin music, and Miami is sort of like the hub. So that's how I ended up here. I think every place that I've kind of grown or been at really has shaped me, like even Miami. So I like to say I'm from a lot of places. That was like a really long explanation, I guess. But yeah, that's kind of been my journey, both like professionally and personally. And so that's kind of the story I usually tell people.
This is lovely. Thank you for sharing. So yeah. Once you graduated from Berkeley, I saw that you had mostly marketing roles in the music industry. So can you please share why marketing? You kind of shared this because of your love of storytelling, but maybe there's something more to that. And also, what would you say are your favorite and least favorite parts of your job?
Yeah, so you know, even when I was at Berkeley, I did like the TEDx there, and I did the Berkeley Women's Empower Symposium, and I was always like on the marketing side of things for that. So I always envisioned marketing as not just being like a very administrative type of role, but it was just like you could do marketing for everything, live events and like an artist and sort of things. And I think using storytelling to work in like all these diverse type of things for me was really attractive. And so that's sort of why I picked marketing. Again, the storytelling was a huge part of it because it was something I really enjoyed. And I think enjoying what you do is really important. You have this big passion, but being passionate about something doesn't mean you have to work really hard or you have to enjoy what you're doing, right? So I think that's sort of how I picked marketing. When I moved to Florida, I ended up working for iHeartRadio. That was my first experience, and it was actually in the sales and marketing department. I don't necessarily enjoy the sales aspect of it, so that was like, it was kind of weird for me to do it. But I did do it, and I was exposed to different aspects of marketing, so that was a unique experience. But I think one of my favorite experiences was working for a nonprofit, which was outside the music industry, but it was a music nonprofit. And it was called the Miami Music Project, and it had a beautiful mission of providing music education to children in underserved communities who would otherwise not have access to music. And it kind of really changes their lives, like, for the better. Like, some of these kids, if it wasn't for that nonprofit, they would, you know, be in a different life, I guess. They would end up in completely different places. And for me to see a child be given an instrument and then pursuing an education, like whether they chose to be like a performer or just apply to college, was a beautiful experience. And I got to, in terms of marketing, I got to do everything from like defining the brand to picking the colors of the brand to how do you develop the voice in social media, like actual more traditional marketing, like brochures and concert programs. But then I was doing a lot of the digital stuff and like fundraising. So I think that was a really fun thing for me because I got to wear so many different hats, and the things I didn't know how to do, I had to learn. Like, I had to teach myself. I had to talk to people that had done it. Like, it was very much kind of like riding this wave, or I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it anyways. And so that was fun. So I think to answer your question, I did not enjoy the selling part that comes along with marketing, because they kind of go hand in hand. You know, at the end of the day, you're selling a story. But I did enjoy like being able to have my hands in everything. And now at Rich Music, I have found that all those skills that I acquired because I was kind of thrown into the fire, it is actually like it made me such a stronger professional, and it kind of has helped me to sort of mentor people who are now younger than me and new to like their roles. And I kind of get it, you know, because I was in their shoes not too long ago. And so I think, yeah, I've both the good and the bad has been positive. And it's mm-hmm. kind of hard to realize that while you're going through it. But once you once you get through it, you're like looking back and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, that was good.
Yeah, now I get it. Now I get why.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is good.
And when planning release campaigns, how do you mm-hmm. start at the planning? And what would you say are the main difficulties for you as a marketing manager?
Yeah, so I think being able to plan the marketing strategy behind these releases is so cool. I mean, that's probably an understatement, but we have like listening sessions before even an EP or an album is like put together. So we kind of get to, as a team, vote on what songs would be good to put out there. So that kind of begins the whole marketing process. It's like, okay, what songs are going to resonate the most with this artist? What's the sound that this artist wants, whether they're like an established artist or like an up and coming artist? And so it really just starts with listening to the music, which is amazing because, you know, that's how we all somehow ended up in the music business. So that's kind of how it starts. From there, we have a lot of brainstorming sessions because now we know what the music is, what the lyrics are, what the music video is going to be, the whole, like, all around what we're putting out there. So we have brainstorming sessions first internally within the marketing team, and then we involve all the other teams that are, you know, kind of like the management team and the production team. And we all sit down and agree on these ideas that are going to happen pre-release and post-release. And so it's a very creative process. It involves storytelling, but so many other things like activations. You know, with COVID, it's been a little bit different because we've kind of not been able to do those in-person activations, but that sort of forces you to be a little bit more innovative and creative. Like, how do we connect with the audience? And so the whole process from beginning to end is just very, very creative. And you kind of have to, you know, things have been done before, so you kind of have to find new things. But yeah, you sort of use your team to kind of come up with those ideas and bring them to life, which is the most exciting part. Once you have that marketing plan and strategy established, and once the artist approves, because one thing which is really fun is coming up with all of these ideas. But I think you know, one of the biggest challenges is for artists to approve. Some are easier mm-hmm. than others. Some are very much like, yeah, I love that. Like, let's do everything that you came up with, and they're super cool about it, while other artists will be like, no, just like straight up no. You know, like, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just like, nope, they're not feeling it. So it's like, all right, let's go back to the drawing board and figure it out. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess working with the artists can sometimes be a little difficult. But then there's other artists that are super humble, and they trust you as the team behind them to take their career to the next level. And that's always really great as well, because, you know, people don't see us working behind the scenes. And, you know, a lot of what we do really does matter. It's really important to have a good marketing strategy in place.
And when you get to work with those artists who are kind of difficult, what is your strategy usually? Do you try to come up with something new, or you try to maybe explain to them that your idea is actually very good and it will be good for them and for their career? What is your approach usually in these situations?
So it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of not just the marketing team defending it. Like, you also involve the management team. You know, they're kind of like the middleman between marketing and the actual artist. And I think one is to like really like talk to them and just say, hey, this is really creative. Like, this is going to push you and explain how. But other artists need more tangible results. And that's like analytics are huge in terms of that, like showing them, whether it's a case study or, you know, results from a previous campaign, you know, so they see that it works. So it really depends on the artist, but I think it's a combination of both. Like, if they really hate it, you will have to go back to the drawing board and be like, all right, let's brainstorm again. Let's do it again. Let's see what else we can come up with. But other times it's just like talking to them and explaining like, what's the reason behind it? Like, what results can you expect? Like, sometimes we kind of estimate what a campaign is going to deliver in terms of results. And sometimes that's enough for them to be like, okay, let's do it. So yeah, it's kind of depending on the artist is kind of how you decide how to approach it.
And have you ever had these difficult situations when you tell the artist that it should work out most probably, and at the end it doesn't really work and the artist get furious and mad? Like, have you ever had these situations and how did you deal with them?
Yeah, I'm already laughing because yes. I mean, it's a lot of trial and error as well. I feel like there's got to be some room for trial and error. But in the end, all you can do is say, okay, well, we'll try something else in the future. And I remember, you know, like with TikTok blowing up, there's both like micro and macro type of influencers. But there's also like budgets with each release, and it all depends on the type of artist you are, like whether you're big or small. And sometimes like some artists will be upset because we weren't able to like get a really big influencer, but it's like they're really expensive. Like, depending on the budget, like you just can't be mad. Like, and so like having those conversations, like sometimes it's not just about what we propose, but also what we're able to do with the budget we're given. So it just, there's layers to it. And sometimes having those conversations, again, it depends on the artist's personality. It depends on their management team. It depends on so many things. But yeah, some conversations are hard. they're not fun for me as marketing manager. Like, sometimes it can be a little scary as well because they do get really mad. No. But sometimes they're like super chill. Like, so mm-hmm. really just depends on learning to, I guess, approach the different personalities. It's funny mm-hmm. because, you know, as marketing, I don't have to deal with the artists as much as, say, like managers. And I know that here, like where I work, managers refer to themselves as like moms and like psychologists and like also like whatever the artist needs, that's what they are. And so I'm happy that I'm not on that side. Like, I feel like, okay, I need to explain results and stuff, but I also like it's less crazy for me. So I always appreciate that, and I'm glad I picked marketing. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad for you too. Management is much crazier for me as
it's
well.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough that you have to have a certain personality like for you as well, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with definitely. A lot of different situations.
Yeah. And can you share with us, do you have any favorite marketing campaign that you did so far? The most memorable, I don't know, for you in some way?
I'm trying to think. I think I'm actually really excited about things that haven't happened yet. And I can't talk about it necessarily. Mm-hmm. But we're doing a lot of cool things in the future, and I think for me those are the ones that we're seeing from beginning to end, from those listening sessions to what we want to put out there, and so I'm really excited to see those campaigns, and I can't share the details, but I think because COVID has kind of changed everything, I think applying those new strategies is going to be really interesting because our entire world has changed and how we consume music has changed. And so, yeah, once it happens, I'll reach out to you and be like, this is what I was talking about. Check it out.
Okay, we will be following you to see
right.
what you're working on.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we have a lot of remixes that are really exciting with really big artists. And, like, those campaigns, I cannot wait to, like, put out there. So,
okay.
Yeah. Also, like, up-and-coming artists, those are exciting, too, because you're kind of defining everything that they're going to be. So, we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what would you say are your life highlights? Not necessarily music-related. But in general.
That's such a big question.
Yeah, you said Spain was one of the highlights, but maybe you want to share something else.
Oh my God. I'm trying to think. That's like a loaded question. Like, how do you pick? Let me see. Yeah, Spain for sure was one of those things that I'll always think about. But aside from that, you know what? I think for me is like every time I've moved to a place, something really great has happened. And so life highlights would be for me that, like those defining moments. So like, for example, when I moved to the US, I remember like I knew how to read and write English, but speaking it is like a whole nother animal. And so I remember, like, singing in Spanish. I was, like, I don't know. I was, like, 12 years old, right? And connecting with the audience. And, like, after that, people were just, like, they wanted to talk to me. And even though I wasn't able to communicate as well, that was just, like, an important moment for me. Like, okay, I can figure this out. So I think even though I was a kid, that was a highlight to just have that realization that it really is a universal language. Graduating from college was really big for me because, again, as I said, it wasn't just about me, but it was more like my parents work really hard for me to be able to do that. And so that was a moment that I feel like it was a highlight for me, but it was also a highlight for my family. You know, it was kind of like it was all worth it type of thing. Obviously, getting into Berkeley, as I said, I was running back and forth. Like, it was one of those moments. It was amazing. Moving to Spain. And moving to Miami, that I had a little bit of a culture shock coming back to the U.S. I didn't want to leave Spain, you know? So, like, moving to Miami and finally being able to work in music was a huge highlight. Like, figuring it out. But seeing that really it was possible. So that one was more for me, that highlight. It was kind of like validation. like I was right, you guys. I can make money and work in something I like, you know.
I feel you 100%.
So yeah, I don't know. I feel like those milestones are sort of the highlights. I mean, other things happen from like a personal level. Like, I met my boyfriend in Miami, and we've been together for 3 years, so that's cool. But yeah, just like those little things that you work for so hard, and finally when you see them come into fruition, are always like, it's great. You know, it's good.
Love it.
Yeah.
And how would you define success for yourself?
Oh my gosh. These are hard questions. Thank you. I think the older I get, I'm not that old, by the way, but the older I get, for me, success is more about balance. I think when you're hustling really hard, it's kind of, you lose that balance along the way. And not everyone is able to achieve that balance. And so for me, when I talk about balance, is having that balance between your career and personal life and making time for the two. And be like, if I have a career or a job, rather, that allows me to also have a personal life, that's really important, because there were moments throughout my career where I was so involved in my job. I not only burnt out a few times, but also like I didn't have balance, and it affects everything from like your mental health to just your like physical health. Like you don't have time to work out like or cook really. And so I think for me, success is one about balance and finding whatever that balance means to you. And two, about taking care of yourself and being surrounded by things that allow you to be able to take care of yourself, whether that's like a circle of friends or just like a support group. And just taking care of yourself. And then just realizing that I feel for me, happiness is the highest level of success. So if you feel happy, if you have that balance, and if you have people to share it with, I think that's like the biggest, that's success for me. That's like, okay, I feel good about life. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
That is beautiful, Stephanie. No, I really love it. That's a beautiful definition of success. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And, we are slowly wrapping up our interview, and at the end, I ask tiny questions. One of them is, do you have any book, movie, and song recommendations for the listeners?
Ooh, okay. let me see. I think for books, I used to read a lot more than I do now, but I always have loved books. I think a really good book for me, it was recommended when I moved to Miami. It's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. I don't know if you know this book, but it essentially talks about very simple things that should be common sense, but it kind of, you know, common sense is not always common. So The Four Agreements. So it basically means like the four agreements are like keep your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions, and just always do your best. And so they're very basic, I guess, like guidelines or laws to live by that I feel like sometimes we forget. But reading the book, it's a really quick read. It's kind of like short, but it really just makes you think and realize like sometimes the most basic concepts are kind of like the ones that help you the most throughout life. So I recommend people read that one. I've had friends that have read it over and over like throughout their lives. So it's that type of book. In terms of movies, I'm going to say romantic comedy. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I like those. There's this movie called The Ugly Truth. And it basically it's just this funny movie about how men and women think, specifically when it comes to love. And it's just like, it's so accurate. And it makes me laugh every single time. So it's not new or anything like that, but it's called The Ugly Truth. And it is The Ugly Truth. So definitely watch that one. In terms of music, that one's hard because I'm always listening to all sorts of music. There's this singer-songwriter. She is from Puerto Rico. I discovered her actually when I was at Berkeley. We had A&R Month. I don't know if you're familiar with it or they still do that. But you had to, at the end of it, you had to present an artist that you thought would actually or could actually be an artist and why. You know, you had to defend kind of your thought process. But I presented her years ago, and now she has written songs for really big artists like Lele Pons and Selena Gomez and like Pablo Alborán. And so it's crazy because I pitched this girl and now she's writing all these beautiful songs. And again, for me, it's all about storytelling. So that makes me really excited. But her name is Gale. And I feel like people don't know about her. So again, like, go listen to just her music in general. Because one, there's like a Spotify playlist that just kind of put together all the songs that she has written for these people. So even though mm-hmm. she's not singing them, you see all the songs that she has written. So that's really cool. But then you can also listen to her sing, because she does have songs out there. And she actually just released one last week. So look up Gale.
Okay, I will. Thank you. Who is your celebrity crush?
Oh my God. I think I have more than one. Is that allowed?
Yes.
Gerard Butler. He's actually in The Ugly Truth, and I have always liked him. Dennis Quaid. He's in The Parent Trap, by the way. But I remember seeing that one, and I was like, oh my God, he's so cute. Those are both older men, so don't judge me. and then I don't know if you've seen 13 Reasons Why. That one's kind of like a sad show, but the guy Christian Navarro, I always found him really attractive. So yeah, those are like my top main three, I would say.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
What is the most useless talent that you have?
I feel like I have some stuff that I don't use, but I don't know if it's useless. It's just I don't use it.
Let's see.
Okay, this one's weird. I don't tell people this because I feel like they're gonna be like, what? But I can tie a cherry stem with my tongue, and I don't show people that, and I don't talk about it. And that's mostly because I love piña coladas, okay? And they always come with a cherry. And I remember when I was like, I don't know, I was in high school or something, and I didn't know that was a thing, first of all. Like, I didn't do it because it was a thing. I was just, like, bored. I remember I was having a virgin piña colada with my dad. So I ended up, like, tying the cherry stem, and he's like, what are you doing? He was so upset. Like, he was so mad at me. And I was like, what? So I think that's really useless. I don't tell people. I may still do it, like, for myself when I order a piña colada, but it's such a useless thing. I feel like people don't need to know about me. And I guess another one would be I have really good handwriting, and I can write really well, like, cursive, but we don't use that anymore. Like, everything you type. So I feel like I spent all this time as a kid, like, perfecting my handwriting, and I don't even use it anymore. So I think those are both useless talents.
When people will start asking for your orthograph, it will be very useful.
There you go. Yes, I'm not an artist, but maybe you'll ask me for my autograph one day. We'll see.
And the last question that I usually end the episode with is, who would you say inspires you the most?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm trying to think. All the questions that are at the end are harder than the ones in the beginning, by the way. Just so you know. Kudos to you.
I honestly thought that they're just more like general and funny, but
yeah, no, I mean, they are for sure. I was just saying kudos because it makes you think about stuff, so those are always great questions. You know what, I'm gonna go with my family, just because first and foremost, family is super important to me. But I think my parents really inspired me, and I think that's where I learned to be really persistent. They moved to the US with like only $500, and they kind of figured it out. They had like two bags of clothes and $500, and they made it work. And now they have like a very beautiful life. They like just bought their second home. Like, it's like the American type of dream story. So I think they really inspire me. My little sister inspired me. Like, I was an only child, by the way, for like 16 years of my life. So having a sibling after 16 years was like, it was weird. But she's like, I love her because she inspires me, which usually you think as the older sibling, okay, you're the one doing like cool stuff or whatever. I mean, not always, but for the most part. But she's younger than me by 15 years, and she's just so empowered, outspoken. She really owns who she is. And I think those are things that you you learn as you're older. And so to see a younger person be so, I don't know, confident is awesome. So I think when I talk about my family, those are like the three people that I think about, my parents and my sister. Aside from that, I'm always really inspired, not a specific name, but by women who are kind of making waves. I can tell you, like, when I was at Berkeley and we did a TEDx talk, Ashley Graham came to speak, and she is like, she's awesome. I mean, so type like women like that, even in the music industry, like women who are like in top leadership positions. And kind of the reason I say that is because they inspire us who are in the younger generation to see that it is possible to make it into leadership roles, to empower other women. I'm really big on empowering other women and mentorship and all that stuff. So I think kind of seeing those women, it just sets like a precedent of kind of like what I want to do as well. It's just inspire the younger generation and help them out and things like that. So there you go.
This is so important what you just said. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I'm so super happy that you reached out and we made this episode. I'm super happy that I got to know you better. Thank you so much again for your time. And yeah. I'm wish you best of luck on your journey. You're wonderful and just all the best to you.
Thank you so much. You as well. I mean, I think it's awesome that you're doing these podcast series. And yeah, thank you for, you know, being so easy to reach out to, and just overall having these important conversations, whether they're like the hard questions or the more fun ones, I think it's really great. So kudos to you for doing this and for having me. Thank you so much. Thank and I you wish so you the much. Best. I wish you the Thank best you. As well. You know, we're girls in the music industry. So let's continue to do cool things.